Welcome everyone to the worship assembly this morning.
Very good to see the modulants.
Everyone else that has made it out this morning. We are studying in the book of John. We've gotten to chapter 18. I'm actually going to kind of revert back a little bit to John chapter 13 because this is where the prophecy comes in of Peter's denials. So we're going to look at the denials that Peter made. I'll start with a simple question. How many times did Peter deny Christ? And we might think that's simple. It's actually a little more to it than that, as we'll study here this morning. But for a text, we'll read from John 13, verses 37 and 38. This is where Peter, again, we love Peter because he's so forceful. He's so quick to jump on an idea. Sometimes he thinks before he speaks, or he speaks before he thinks. Sometimes he acts before he thinks. And I think that's similar to a lot of us. I think we see a lot of ourselves in Peter. But Peter has already told Jesus, hey, there is absolutely no way. There is no way. I don't care if everybody else leaves you and forsakes you. There's no way that I'll ever do. And so from John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So we're going to look at this lesson for a little bit this morning. Peter's denial. We're studying from the book of John, but in this case, now it becomes very chronological. It's very difficult to try to put it all together. I've done the best that I can from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to try to merge these four accounts together to get a good picture of what really happened there when Peter denied the Lord some three times on the night before his crucifixion. Before we go further, though, let's go to God right now in the word of prayer. Our last lesson in our series ended up with Jesus there being arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 57 and 58. And those who laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. In verse 58, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the healing. Now, a lot of times we're kind of pretty cruel on old Peter. Get after Peter a little bit, but I will give him this much. He did follow. Remember, all the disciples scattered. And so they're in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Roman troops came in and the chief priests and the scribes, and they had their swords and they had their torches and whatnot. They all left. But at least Peter had enough gumption to at least follow. It says he followed at a distance. He didn't want to get too close. He didn't want everybody to know that he was a part of the group. But I'll give him credit that he at least did follow and wanted to see what was going to happen. So it says he was taken to the high priest's courtyard. I have no idea what that looked like. I have no idea what that is. But I drew a picture anyway. I'm just kind of assuming in my mind what this would look like. And so I'm imagining all these buildings around. You'd have the different buildings where Jesus was taken to face Caiaphas. And then he was taken to Annas and back and forth. And it says in the middle there was a courtyard. So I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around this. It's already very, very late at night. It's probably after midnight when the group is rushed into this courtyard area, and John, it says, follows at a distance. Here's my vision I have of it, and I think most of y'all can associate this. It's like Fort Concho. It's kind of the vision I have in my mind. And if you've ever been to Christmas at old Fort Concho, that's what I'm thinking. Now, in the middle of old Fort Concho, they call that, I guess it's the parade ground. I don't know if the parade ground, the courtyard probably wouldn't have been that big, I wouldn't imagine. Probably smaller, but I get this out of these visions of all these buildings around it. And then you have this big old open space in the middle. And you get out there at Christmas, though, or Concha, a lot of those fellows will camp out there. And you can't see much of anything except where they've got the little campfires. And everybody kind of congregates around the campfire. So that's what I'm visualizing anyway, that Jesus has been taken into one of these buildings to be questioned. And then everybody else is kind of hanging out in the courtyard. But not everybody could come in. And so there was a gate. There was a door that you had to have access allowed by the person to the doorkeeper to come into this area. And so that's what John tells us happens. John 18 and 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. And then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So they go up, and Peter and this other disciple, it doesn't ever name who the other disciple is, but the other disciple has a little bit of pull and power in the community of the high priest. And so they come up to the gate, and the other disciple tells Peter, you just wait right here. He goes in and does a little talking, a little checking. He comes back. He talks to the lady at the gate and says, he's okay, he's with me. And then they both enter into this courtyard area of the high priest. So who was most likely the other disciple? And the answer is, I have no idea. Now, I would guess if you have footnotes in your Bible, it's probably going to say the other disciple was most likely John. I don't know that for a fact. John liked to refer to himself in his writings in the third person, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So a lot of people think, well, John was pretty rich, and he probably had some relationship with the high priest, and it's probably John. And it very well may be. That other disciple may be John. Now, I did read one interesting thing. They threw out another name. I thought, oh, that makes sense. It was Nicodemus. That there was Nicodemus, who was a member of the Sanhedrin court. I guarantee you he knew all the people in that area. He knew the girl at the gate, and maybe it was Nicodemus. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference to the story. But I might just say, sometimes we need to be careful, I think, of taking legend or something that seems right and pronouncing it as true. We don't know. We don't know who this other disciple was. John, Nicodemus, maybe somebody completely different. I don't know. They come back to the gate then, and Peter goes in with this other disciple. The other disciple vouches for him. And so they enter into the courtyard of the high priest. John 18 and 17 is our first denial. And I just call this the denial at the door. And then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? So Peter, very quietly, I know. Our first denial, very quick, very under the table. It wasn't a big production. The little servant girl says, hey, aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of those men that was with the guy that just took him to Annas's? And he says, no. He goes, I am not. And that was very short and very sweet. Now, a lot of these denials, you're going to figure out here very quickly, wait a minute, I thought you said there was three. I really can't give you an answer of how we get to the number three. Because I'm going to tell you, the different writers look at it from different perspectives. So a lot of these things that I'm talking about may be, in fact, the same exact denial. It's just from different people's perspectives. Because now we're going to have some denials at the fire. Now Luke tells us in his account, now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. So is this the same denial? Is this just told from a different perspective? Where John said there was a girl at the gate. Did the girl at the gate walk over to the fire? I can't give you 100% definite answer on this. And we'll talk about this at the end. But this appears to be a different denial. Because now Peter has gone into the courtyard. He's no longer at the gate. It's early spring, and it still gets pretty cold in the evenings. It's late. It's in the middle of the night right now, anyways. And so they've got a fire built up. And so Peter goes up, and he's warming himself by the fire. Well, there's only one bad thing about warming yourself by the fire if you're trying to hide, is that it projects light. And so now this servant girl looks into the flame, and she catches a glimpse of Peter. And she says, yep, that guy was with him. Now, I don't know how she knew that. I don't know if she'd seen him around town. I don't know where she had made the connection. Remember, Jesus had been in and out of Jerusalem the last few days. He had been in the temple, and Peter had been with him. And maybe this servant girl had seen them sometime during the day, but whatever the case, she goes, yep, that was him. And now Peter denies him, says, woman, I do not know him. I also notice in here, I underline the word they. Luke also uses the word they. So who else is the they in reference to? When it says they had kindled a fire. Who's he talking about? Well, John 18 and 18 tells us, now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there. For it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So it's not just one or two people. We have servants. We have young girls who are servants. We have men servants. We have officers. We've probably got Roman soldiers are probably still kind of middling around, those that had escorted Jesus up to the high priest. I think we said there could have been somewhere up to like 200 Roman soldiers. I don't know. But they're all kind of hanging around, the chief priests, the scribes. People started to get kind of excited about this. And so I don't know who all was there, but there was a whole bunch of people there. Mark tells us now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, is this the same servant girl that we just talked about in a different account? I can't for 100% certainty say. I don't know. I know if you had an event and you had four different people observing the event, and then those four people wrote an account of it, it would seem very different, and it could be the exact same account. So this very well could be that. I don't know. But either way, Jesus is getting out of this. But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." I'm starting to notice Peter's starting to get a little bit irritated. Remember the first time when the girl asked him? No, it wasn't me. And now it is, "Woman, I do not know him." And now it's turned in, "I don't even know or understand what you are saying." I notice Peter's starting to get a little bit more irritated, it seems, every time he is questioned. In Luke's account, it says that after a little while, I don't know how long that would be, another saw him. Again, I don't know who that another is. I don't know if this is a retelling of the same account. But he says, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." I can't help but think this is kind of where Peter pulls out his Joe Biden impression. When Joe Biden gets irritated, he likes to pull out that, "Come on, man." And I can almost hear him saying that. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." He's starting to get irritated. He's starting to get agitated. Now we have another very specific denial. I don't know exactly when it occurred. I'm trying to figure this out, and I'll give you an example of why I think it occurred here. It's the denial to the kin of Malchus. Remember in the garden, these Roman soldiers came up, Peter whipped out his sword, and very skillfully or unskillfully, however you look at it, sliced off the ear of a man by the name of Malchus. If he was aiming for the ear, he was had really, really good aim. If he was aiming for his head, he missed. I'm assuming Peter was aiming for his head and he missed. But whatever the case, Malchus lost part of his ear. Jesus was able to heal it. Well, in John 18 and 26, it says, "One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' And again, Peter denies him." Now, I don't know how Peter denied him. It doesn't say. But it just says Peter denied him again. And no, it wasn't me. I wasn't the one that sliced off your cousin's ear. That wasn't me. That must have been somebody else. Peter denies the fact. Now, if one of the high priest's servants was able to see this, was able to recognize Peter, that tells me Peter was probably still pretty close to the fire. He was probably still where he could be seen in the light. Because remember, it's pitch black. It's the middle of the night. You're not going to be able to recognize a person from any distance whatsoever. So I'm assuming all of these events, all of these denials occurred pretty much at the same time. And in fact, they may be the same events, just being retold. Again, I can't tell you. But now we're going to move out a little bit. And I think Peter's starting to get a little bit antsy, because people start to talk to him and he realizes, this isn't good. I better get away from this fire. And so he's going to kind of withdraw himself. And he's going to go to what is referred to in Mark's account as the porch. So in Mark 14, verse 68, starting at the second part of the verse, says, "And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again." So now Peter is backed up to the porch. So again, if you can have my vision of Fort Concho, you're kind of sitting out in the middle. It's getting a little too hot. People starting to see. It's a little too much light. I just see him backing off into one of those buildings underneath the porch, underneath the overhang, where you can't be seen quite as well. I'm going to have a feeling that's what Peter did. Then it gets a little hotter. And so now Peter decides, maybe I just need to start making my way back to the gate. He doesn't want to be around where he can be seen. Matthew's account, Matthew 26, verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Well, now Peter's really getting irritated, and now he's going to add an oath to it. God is my witness, or whatever he might have said as an oath. I make an oath, I promise, I guarantee it, whatever he said, he made some type of an oath to try to increase people to believe. I promise you, that was not me. He is doing everything he can in order to deny. So here's my little picture again. I don't know if this is where all this stuff was, but I'm saying maybe the door, the gateway, that appears to be where the first denial, where the girl, the gatekeeper, hey, weren't you with him? Peter's like, no, I wasn't me. And then they go up and somewhere they have a fire. And then that's where people start recognizing him in the light. And these different, sounds like a couple different girls, or maybe the same girl, but a bunch of people start coming and Peter's like, no. I'm assuming this is probably where Malchus's kin was able to recognize Jesus, or recognize Peter rather. Then somewhere it says he went to a porch. I'm guessing he just kind of started trying to get out of the light. He started backing into the shadows so people couldn't see him. And then it says, well, he went back to the doorway. So Peter's kind of trying to make a big exit here is what it looks like to me. And here is our final. Luke 22, verse 59. It says that after about an hour had passed. So now we at least have some time frame that this is much later in the night. Jesus, his questioning before the high priest is almost done. It's been about an hour later now, it says. It says, another confidently affirms, saying, surely this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean. You know, that's a big deal. He's Galilean. And so they could recognize by the way he talked. Galileans spoke a little bit differently, had a little different accent than people that were from Jerusalem in that area. It's kind of like Megan's cousins. I can't tell you what it is, but they're all up from Ohio and West Virginia area. There's just a couple words they say funny. They don't say them right like we do down here. But I guarantee you, they're saying, boy, those mates down there in Texas, they say words funny too. But there's just some words that, I can't even remember what it is, but as soon as you talk to Tommy, you know exactly, you just hear there's just different pronunciations. It's just a little bit different. And I'm sure that's what they figured out with Peter. He is not from around here. He is, in fact, a Galilean. And so Peter denies this now. Man, I do not know what you are saying. Come on, man. Mark says it like this, and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. And then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. So now he's gone from an oath to he is cursing and swearing. Matthew says, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of those, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And then the rooster crows. John 18, 27, Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Mark tells us, he actually says there was two rooster crows. He's the only one that dictates a certain number, but Mark says a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he went. So this idea of the rooster crowing, it kind of sounds weird to us. I mean, I'm not an agricultural type person, but the crowing of the rooster might be just an idiom. I mean, there was probably actual roosters that crowed, and they kind of set the times. But they would also blast trumpets, I understand, to try to keep the city of Jerusalem on time. They were called watches, and there was different watches. And when the rooster crowed, that was signified the beginning of a watch, and then that signified the end of a watch when the rooster crowed again. And so it might be an idiom. Maybe it might just be a figure of speech. The blowing of a trumpet might have been considered the crowing of the rooster. I don't know. I have a feeling that it was probably a literal rooster, and the literal rooster crowed. And in Mark's account, he said he was going to crow twice. Now, roosters were known to crow about 3 a.m., they say, and then at daybreak. I don't know. I've never been around roosters and don't know much about them. But apparently they have kind of a set time when they like to start their caterwauling. And now Jesus has looked on to Peter. Now Jesus is being pulled out of one of those buildings where he's been being questioned. Peter has denied Jesus one more time, and the Lord turned and looked at him. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter felt about that day. And he realized he had messed up. And he realized he had made a huge mistake. Luke 22 and 62 says, "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." So when it says he went out, I suppose that means he left the courtyard of the high priest, exited out, and went out and wept bitterly. And that's the stories of the denials of Jesus and of Peter. So I guess my first question is, I started with it, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Well, you'll get a bunch of strange answers if you start studying it. Maybe it was three, maybe it was exactly three, and it looks like there was more, but maybe they're just retellings of the same denials. Maybe all the girls denying, or maybe that's just considered one denial in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know. I've heard some people say it was actually six denials. There was three before the first rooster crowed, and there was three right before the second rooster crowed. I don't know. Maybe that's what is meant by the scripture. Maybe that's why Mark goes to such detail to describe two rooster crows. I don't know. I also thought about this on this reading after one man, Lieber is his name, I read a book of his. It's almost like if I was to say to Aaron, "Aaron, I think you're playing really well in basketball today. You're playing a team. You've got an advantage. I think you're going to score 10 points. You're going to score 10 points. If she goes out and scores 15, did she still score 10? And the answer would be, I mean, she still scored 10. I mean, she scored 15, but to get 15, you had to get to 10. So when it says the rooster's going to, you're going to deny three times before the rooster crows, did Peter deny three times? Obviously, yes. There's no doubt there's three denials. Maybe he denied him 10 times. I don't know. But even if he denied him 10 times, he still denied him three. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the answer is. All I know is that Peter had opportunity to stand up for the Lord, and he chose to deny him several times. So what can we learn about or learn from the denials of Peter? Well, I have five things for you and five verses I want you to consider. I don't have the verses up here on the board. You might need to turn to them in your Bible if you have them handy. Number one, the Scriptures make no effort to cover up for the weakness of Peter. And I appreciate that. They didn't sugarcoat it. They didn't try to make it look better than what it was. Peter is made in this account to look like a coward. And I don't know that he is. I don't know if anybody would have done anything differently. But Peter is made to look pretty bad. And he had opportunity to do right, and he just kept on denying the Lord. And Peter also comes off as being pretty cocky. Remember where we started this passage from? Peter's like, "Listen, everybody else may deny you. Everybody else may run away. There is absolutely no way that I, Simon Bar-Jonah, a.k.a. Peter, there is absolutely no way that I will ever deny you. I am ready to lay down my life for you right here, right now. There is no way I will ever, ever, ever deny you." And within about 3 hours, he denied him left and right at every opportunity. So I give you a verse here to think about. It's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12. Here the Apostle Paul is writing. It almost sounds like a proverb. I like it. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Be careful. When we think we've got it all figured out, we're arrogant and we're cocky, we better take heed to him who thinks he stands lest he fall. Because that's what happened to Peter. I think Peter was a little bit too brazen, a little bit too cocky, a little bit too arrogant, and it cost him. And Peter had to live with that for the rest of his life, but he had denied the Lord. Number two, Peter fell into trouble when he was left alone in the courtyard. Have you ever thought about that or not? Peter came in with somebody else. Peter came in with this other disciple. Don't know who the other disciple is, but then I don't know what happened to the other disciple. He vanishes from the story. And now Peter is left to himself. Peter is left by himself there at the fire. Peter is left to himself there on the porch. Peter is left there himself to the gateway, wherever. Peter is all by himself. And that's when it's tough sometimes to stand on your own. It's easier if you have somebody there with you. I wish Peter had stayed with this other disciple. Be careful when you find yourself all alone. In Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. We just did this in our reading just the other day. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. I think about Peter. He had nobody there to help him up. When he started wavering a little bit, there was nobody there to help Peter up. And he just kept falling further and further and further with each opportunity to deny the Lord. Number three, did you notice how the denials became increasingly stronger? It started with, no, ma'am, I don't know him. To woman, it wasn't me. To come on, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't understand the words you're saying. To offering an oath. And then we're swearing and cursing by the end of it. And Peter just kept getting increasingly agitated and aggravated with each one of his denials. And that's kind of how we have a tendency to do. When someone doesn't believe us, especially if we're lying, we just try to say it louder, and then we try to say it, repeat it again and again and again. And we'll just keep repeating it and keep getting louder and louder and more obnoxious. That doesn't make it more true. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is talking about oaths, and he's talking about swearing, and he gives some great advice to everybody. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew 5, 37. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. We don't need to start hopping around and jumping and swearing and cursing and having oaths. If it's the truth, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. That's all you need. We don't need to become more increasingly stronger with these things we say. If we do, it's probably not truthful, and it's from the evil one. Number four, do we still deny Jesus today? Do people deny Jesus today? Do we individually deny Jesus today? And I hate to say it, but probably yes. We probably do the exact same thing that Peter does. We have opportunity to stand up for Jesus, and instead, I don't know him. I don't know. I don't know what's right. I don't, yeah. I'm not sure. And we just kind of let things go. I'm afraid we do that all the time. Let me tell you what Paul said in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Paul says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We need to remember that. If we want to deny Jesus, it is possible. Jesus is going to deny us as well. And finally, number five. Typed it wrong. How did Jesus use Peter's failures? How did Jesus use Peter's failures? Don't look at what I typed up there. I typed the wrong thing. How did Jesus use Peter's failures? You know, we like to do when somebody messes up, we like to hold it over their head and remind it of them for years and years, maybe for the rest of their life. I don't know. We like to throw it back in their face. We like to never really forget. We just wait for an ample moment, and then we throw it back at them to try to make ourselves improve our situation. You know, I don't know that the Bible ever mentions this again, Peter's denials. I think it kind of did indirectly, but I don't think it ever mentions Peter's Peter's mistake, Peter's failure. But Jesus took a great opportunity to teach Peter through his mistake. He found a teaching opportunity, we might say. After the resurrection, in John chapter 21, verse 15, here's how Jesus used Peter's failure to his advantage. John 21 and 15. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Verse 17, he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I think it was coincidental that Jesus asked this question three times. Probably not. There was three denials. There was three questions. And Peter again is kind of starting to get a little bit irritated. But I think he got the message. I think he got the point that he had opportunity once before to stand up for Jesus, and he found an opportunity to deny him instead. And now Peter was going to be given a second chance. He had a chance for redemption. And wasn't it Peter that preached there on the day of Pentecost? Wasn't he the first preacher to open up the keys to the kingdom? Wasn't it Peter that was called there to the house of Cornelius to preach the first gospel sermon to the Gentile world? I'd say Peter made out all right. Peter had a lapse, but I'd say Peter made out all right in the end. And he had opportunity to stand for Jesus, and I don't know that he ever denied him again. I can only imagine what the look from Jesus was like. And I'm sure that burned on his conscience, and there wasn't a doubt in my mind that Peter was going to stand up for Jesus every opportunity that he had because of what happened that night in the courtyard of the high priest. So there's our story and our lesson about the denials of Peter. We never like to close our service or our sermon without having an opportunity. If there is anybody who needs the help of the church, or if anybody who wants to step out on the promises of faith, we stand ready at this time to do so.